Well, hello.
I've had it since, yeah.
Hello?
I lost my, hello?
Hello,
hello
Barb.
This is
hello?
Donna.
Hi,
hi
Donna.
Barbara. Oh, good.
Hi.
And anybody want to say your name? It would be fun to hear the names of those people who are online.
John Bosley's here.
Oh,
hi,
great.
John.
Hi, John.
Olive from
Joyce.
New York.
Olive.
Very good.
Erica.
And this is Rebecca.
Rebecca.
And
Dee
is Jennifer.
Here.
And
Dee.
And Jennifer.
Dee.
Hi.
Hello,
Dee.
Hi.
Hey, this is Dee Stewart.
Hi,
oh,
how
can
are
you? Hear Joyce.
And Jennifer, get my message on the phone.
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Donna?
Yes,
Donna.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Good. Yes, I'm so glad you're here. Let's see. I think Lee, was that you? I think I heard Lee. And I know Barbara. And I think Marlene is there or coming. So we're going to have a pretty good group. I had a number ask about the class tonight. So I think we'll go ahead and get started. We have a lot of things to share and do in our class, and I think you're all going to enjoy it very much. And Barbara, I'll let you go ahead and introduce and do whatever it is that you would like to do there.
Do a song and a dance, huh? Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Barbara Gabbert, and I live in Allen, Texas. Donna Korth lives in Sulphur Springs, Texas, so we're the Texas two-step here tonight. We're grateful that you could all attend. If you would like to meet anyone, another person in your area who is like-minded, let us know.
And Barbara, if you're there, unmute yourself. Can't hear you.
Oh, I was here talking away. Am I unmuted now?
Yes, you're unmuted now.
Okay. I called Donna and me the Texas two-step because she's in one Texas town and I'm in another. So welcome, everyone that's attending the class tonight. We're glad that you're here. If you would like to meet another person in your area who is like-minded, let us know. We have contacts from all over the United States, and we understand that many people sometimes feel isolated regarding New Age subjects, but there are many people that are more than you might guess that are interested in these types of topics. If you would like to stay updated on the Heart Center activities, offers, and services, make a note to contact us, and we'll put you on our regular email or snail mail list. You will hear from us every few weeks, most likely, or someone can call you if you prefer. The Heart Center movement is composed of many heart friends whose mission is to hold the balance of light upon the earth by first intimately knowing their own God presence and discovering their reason for being, then emanating light in ways directed by their I Am presence. The Heart Center consists of people from every imaginable religious or non-religious background, Catholics, Buddhists, Baptists, Unitarians, agnostics, you name it. We work closely with the Ascended Masters, those beings who have fulfilled their karmic debt on earth and now work with the angels in heaven and other cosmic beings and assist us toward our ascension. We have a HeartShare team. Our active members are Donna, Barbara, Dee, Dwyn, Marlene, Cindy, Jennifer, and Autumn. And we present this class together, and we're available to answer questions, find out answers, and pray with you and encourage you. And if any attending this class would like to help us, please contact Donna or Barbara and let us know. Our mission within our Heart Center community is to realize personal enlightenment through our higher self and to share the Ascended Master's love wisdom teachings throughout the earth. Our vision is we live in sustainable golden crystal age communities in joy and in harmony with Mother Nature using solar sciences of the spirit. We radiate light and we live and love as one. Now, regarding the class procedure, I suggest that you bring a pen and paper and use a landline phone with a speaker if you have one. If you don't have a speaker phone, they only cost about $5 more than a regular phone, and then your hands can be then free and you can walk around the room, take notes, or do whatever you need to do without having to fumble with the receiver all the time. We will keep callers muted to eliminate the background noise, and Donna has muted everyone. You can unmute yourself by pressing star 6 if you would like to share something at our sharing times, or if you cannot hear the class, please speak loudly and clearly into the phone. When you're through speaking, press star 6 again, and you will be muted again. During our class, we will stop and allow questions, answers, and a brief sharing of experiences. If you partake in this, please limit yourself to 3 minutes so we can finish the class on time. Then we will have a prayer request time for those who can stay for 10 to 15 minutes longer. Tonight, we're going to hear from a master that we have never received a message from before, called Inspira. So we're excited about sharing this message with you. Donna, when do you want to do the special?
I think we'll wait and do that at the end.
Oh, okay. We're going to go ahead and begin our session now. Dee, would you be willing to give an invocation to begin? Yes, no, maybe.
It's star 6, D.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. In the name I am that I am, in the name of Almighty God, we call to your heart, beloved Alpha and Omega, Helios and Vesta, and the entire spirit of the Great White Brotherhood. We call to your heart, O beloved Inspira, beloved Allegra. We ask you to overshadow us, O beloved Lady Master Leto, and all those in the retreats of heaven that are teaching and guiding us every step of the way. We are so grateful to have our beloved friends with us this night, and we call for the angels of victory to assist us in being victorious in all that is before us this night and every day of our lives. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now we're going to do a breathing meditation, which we call pranayama, which is a Hindu word called holy breath. We do this at the beginning of each class to relax and to connect with the Holy Spirit. Consider your breath as a gift and part of the Holy Spirit as we do this together, which you can do with the phone in one hand. But if you have a speakerphone, now's the time to, excuse me, now's the time to use that. So go ahead and sit comfortably, close your eyes, and look at the inside of your eyelids. Then, with your eyes closed, look up towards that place in the center of your forehead between your eyebrows, the location of your third eye chakra. See your breath coming in and out as a brilliant light entering every cell of your body like liquid fire. Mother Mary said the Holy Spirit is of female gender, thus we say her. Now follow me as I say a mantra and give instructions. We're going to do this in four stages. Breathe in. Hold it in, breathe out and hold it out. Each statement is to the count of 4 or 8. I'm going to do to the count of 8. Excuse me. One moment. Okay. Now we're going to breathe in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Hold it in. I absorb all of her merit. Now breathe it out. I breathe out her light to the world. Hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurled. Let's do this again, and we'll say, I breathe in my solar presence. Okay, together, breathe in. I breathe in my solar presence. Hold it. I absorb all of his essence. Breathe out. I breathe out his light to the world. Hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurled.
Unfurled.
Unfurled. Okay. Now, the notes I have say that we're going to do the prayer of consecration. Is that what we're doing tonight, Donna?
Yes. And most everybody should have gotten that prayer as an email or snail mail. And
okay.
If you have a prayer book, it's number 0.006. So pick up the back of your letter, or I hope you printed it out if you had it by email. But if you don't have it, just listen to the words carefully and meditate on them, and be sure that if you use this throughout the week, every morning when you get up or any time in the day is all right. This is very powerful. Visualize the angels of consecration surrounding you, loving you, caressing you, protecting, directing, perfecting, and directing you. So we will say this together. Go ahead, Barbara. Do you have that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and read the description, and then we'll say the prayer together, okay, for those that desire, or you can just listen if you like. Every day may be a renewal in this sacred act of consecration, Blessed Hearts. And as you awake in the morning and greet the dawn and the opportunity to breathe anew a life of service to humanity, you may simply say, together, O God, I consecrate every moment, every waking moment of my life anew to you this day, in service, in joy, and in love. I enter the sacred space of your light, even as I ask you, O God, to enter my heart to love with a new and holy love this day. Through my life offered unto you, O Lord, live and move and have your being through me. Live and emanate and experience the creation through me, your co-creative son, daughter, O Lord. I know that the creation is good, for you have said that it is so. And if the creation is good, O God, that which I offer this day is also honorable and acceptable in your sight, because your life, your love, lives within me. O Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to live a consecrated life for humanity and to continue in the way of loving until all life is ascended in the light and wholly free. I thank you. Blessed ones, a prayer such as this brings God's grace tangibly into your world and may also bring the great boon and blessing of the consecration angels in all that you do. Think on what the angels can do through you each day, of how their blessings, their graces, their virtues, and that which their choirs sing of God's joy and beauty may emanate and be expressed through your heart, head, and hand in your sacred work each day. This makes life beautiful, wonderful, glorious. Truly, as one said, it is a wonderful life. Let us make it so daily. Now we will sing the song sent to you in honor of the angels. This song can also be found on our website under Media Center and then under the section called Prayers and Songs. And it's number 16 in the Heart Center songbook for those that have a songbook.
So. I would like to say right now that I think it would be great if we dedicate this song tonight to Minerva Reese. Minerva went home to be with her, with the angels and with God at about 12:40 this morning. And her daughters are here, and they are going to share some very wonderful things that they have experienced as Minerva went through her transition. And so I would like to especially remember her as we sing this song. It's called May the Angels Go With You. So I'm going to play it now.
Go with you wherever.
really do believe that Minerva is here with us tonight in our class. Her daughters, Lola and Shola, are here, I'm pretty sure, and I would like them to share for a few minutes some interesting things that have happened in the last day of Minerva's life and as she has passed on. So Lola or Shola, if you were there, just
press. No, we're here.
We're here.
Okay. Go ahead.
We first want to thank you, all of you, for your prayers and your love and care. Yesterday, all day, she had gotten really sick in the morning, and my dad and I spent the whole day and evening with her. We finally left about 10 o'clock, 10:30. By the time I got home, I couldn't sleep, and I stayed up. I talked to my friend Deanna, who's on the conference call with us tonight, and she had to go to work, so we both agreed to get off the phone about 12. So I dozed off, and about, 12:30 or so, I had a dream, and the dream involved me being in the hospital room with my mother, and so I saw her body there. She had passed. But in the doorway of the room, she was there in a younger persona, and she said to me, "I'm fine, I feel great, I love you and your sister and your dad, and thank you," and she just was really happy. And she said, "Don't worry about anything, I'm really happy," and I started smiling. And I was so happy, and I was even smiling physically, even though I was still dreaming. As soon as that happened, the phone rang, and that was when the nurse called me to tell me that she passed away. So I really know she came to me in a dream to assure me, because she knows how much I worry about her, and, it's been really difficult the last few months. On top of that, when we came home, my dad and I came home last night, I had bought some candles with the Mother Mary, the Miraculous medal on these candles. I bought 6 candles like a few days ago. I set them up in the fireplace, and I happened to just go by to check on them, and one of the candles was lit, and I deliberately did not light those candles because they didn't need to be. So what happened was I asked my dad if he lit the candle, and he said no. And so I just really feel that that was another sign from her to let us know that she's here with us, because one of the things she did every night is she always lit a candle and kept it burning all night. I mean, she never let that flame go out. And so for us to come home and see one of those candles lit, knowing that I didn't do it, my dad didn't do it, there's nobody else here, I really feel it was a sign from her as well.
That is a miracle. That is a real miracle.
Yeah, thank you.
I just want to mention, too, that I realized as I was thinking about it, I was talking to Barbara today about it, and I said, and I didn't get to bed till 1 o'clock last night. I'm one of these night owls anyway. I start really going in the evening. And it was about 12:40, in fact, when I thought of Minerva, and I felt like I really needed to pray for her. And every time I started to pray, I found myself thanking God for taking her home and for the wonderful graduation she had. And I thought to myself, why shouldn't be praying this? I should be praying for her healing. But
yeah.
Every time to pray for her healing, out of my mouth came, "Thank you, Lord, for her graduation. Thank you for this wonderful life she had. I appreciate her prayers that were so consistent for me, for her
yes.
consistent encouragement and prayers on our monthly teleclasses, and for her
mm-hmm.
prayers for everybody that shared their prayer requests. She was a very faithful prayer warrior."
Definitely.
Yeah.
She taught, and we intend to keep that up too in her honor, and we really thank you. And I just think it's also symbolic that she happened to die the day of a prayer group. It's almost to emphasize how important this is, and this, to me, it's another sign that, we are more than what we see here on earth, and all these prayers and all our union together as far as discussing all these topics really are real and can help us live wonderful, lives. And and gives us hope that when we all pass over, there's more beauty and love there waiting for us.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Lola and Shola.
Thank
I just
you.
Appreciate
yeah.
you sharing this.
I wanted the rest of the class to know how important she felt all of you were and how much she loved you, even though she may not have met you. She prayed every day, and she really prayed fervently and passionately, and she really loved all of you. And we really want to thank you, too, for being there for her.
So now our Heart Share group has its own patron saint, right?
That's nice. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Sharing with us.
Thanks for sharing your story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what we're going to do next is get our let me get myself in gear here. We're going to hear from Inspira. And Inspira is somebody we don't know very much about. But Inspira suddenly turned up towards the end of last month, and he informed us that he was the chief of the Inspiration Angels. He came through David. David had never heard of him either, and David was quite surprised. That's David Lewis, the author and teacher and messenger that we work with in the Heart Center community. And if you haven't met him, he's a very humble and dear man. He had no desire to do what he's doing, and he's doing it out of obedience rather than an ego trip. He's not interested in being built up or even called a messenger particularly, but he is there out of obedience to God. And so anyway, we will get on with this a wonderful heart stream from Inspira.
I am Inspira, chief of the Inspiration Angels, and I come this day to inspire you, O soul, to fulfill your mission, a sacred mission of light upon this earth. When you require something more from heaven, you may call to me. Or when you say, Inspira, come forth, I come with a legion of angels, and we wrap our light around your being, and we fill your aura the field of God glory, your mind with a new energy of Virya. And we spark your spirit with that which excites, stimulates, provides for you all that you require to be inspiring yourself.
I would like to ask Marlene, if you're there, Marlene, to explain to everyone what the word Virya means. We find it being said and repeated often by different cosmic beings, so it must be very important.
Yes. Hi, Donna. This is Marlene.
Hi, Marlene.
Virya is, in the Vedic literature, the term is used to be associated with heroism and virility, and in Buddhism it refers to energy or exertion and a prerequisite for achieving liberation. It signifies your strength of character and your persistent effort for the well-being of others. So as I read the meaning of this word, Virya, I was inspired to think about people who I felt had Virya, And two very important people popped into my head immediately, and one was George Washington. For him to have the strength of character to be the general that won the battle for our country to be established for liberty, freedom, and independence, and the Bill of Rights and our Constitution, he had virya. He was persistent in obtaining this freedom for the well-being of the United States of America. And the other individual that immediately came to mind was Abraham Lincoln. He was definitely filled with virya, for he stood up for equality of all men, no matter what race we are. And he sacrificed much and actually gave his life to free all men in this, in our United States. So I just thought those two people were a perfect example of virya.
That's for sure. Those are excellent examples. Thank you. This is not a very good example, but when we were at football games, especially when I was a teenager, we would say, go, go, go together. And that's almost, but not nearly as sacred as when the masters say, virya, virya, virya. And sometimes we say that in some of our prayers. I mean, as she said, examples of the energy and the determination of Abraham Lincoln and Washington, virya, keeping on, keep on keeping on, and do it with all your energy. We'll go on now.
Would you inspire a nation, a people, a continent, a planet? If so, then let your voice be heard. Let your light shine forth. Let the essence of who you are blaze forth through your being, one with us. Why have you not revealed yourself before, you may ask, of me? Why has it been so long in coming that we would know that there are such a thing as inspiration angels? Well, beloved ones, maybe it is because now is the time for you to get up off your seat, to move into action, and to inspire many blessed ones who are ready to engage, engage, engage in the work of the Lord in this age. Yes, we require servitors, those who put their hands to the plow, are active on the playing field.
Now, we know very little about Inspira, but we do know that he has a twin flame, because a few days after Inspira came forth, we met his twin flame. And we do know that Inspira and his twin flame are referred to as muses, as well as angels. And Barb is going to share a little bit as to what the difference is between a muse and an angel, or is there a difference? And she's going to tell you a little bit about his twin flame. Barbara, you're on.
Yes, I'm here. Well, I looked up the dictionary definition of angel, and basically the word angel just means messenger. We often think of them as a heavenly messenger, and some of the masters have talked about angels being an angle of God's consciousness, so a specific vibration for a specific purpose to help accomplish God's desires on wherever they're needed. So I guess a an angel could be a muse, but a muse could be an angel, but all angels are not muses. Now, the word muse is a patron, an inspirer of art, music, and poetry. I found a quotation from the Ascended Master, the being called God Harmony, and he tells a little bit about muses. He says, you can tune in with the work of muses. You can feel the joy, the harmony, and the love that pour out with their thoughts and understand the significance of their contribution to mankind. Man, then, is not useless, as cosmic beings are not useless. Man is useful, as cosmic beings are useful, and each man, artist in his own right, creator in his own domain, may draw forth from the harmonies of God the power that will help the majesty of the universe to speak through the open door of his own being. In other words, with the help of inspiration angels and muses, we can draw from within ourselves our own gifts, and that we all have something valuable to offer, each one of us. So that was a neat thing to read about, that the muses draw forth your talent and your hidden gems and riches within yourself, so to speak. So it's a muse is a very special kind of angel, I think. So that's what I have on those two topics.
Yeah, and this, he calls himself the chief of inspiration angels, and yet elsewhere you will see in this dictation or heart stream that the word muse is referred to as what he is also. So we'll go on. Thanks, Barbara.
You're welcome. Did you want me to tell about Allegra?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Inspiration angel.
Excuse me. Let me turn that off. Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, Allegra is the twin flame of Inspira, and she gave a heart stream on February 1st. So shortly after we heard from Inspira, we heard from his twin flame, Allegra. And she says, in this moment in time and space, I am here to inspire you both to do your best in a new and creative way and to understand the nature of your presence, the nature of the One with a capital O, and the nature of all who have transcended the earthly plane to enter into God's domain of pure light. In other words, she's here to help us understand what it is like to be an ascended being, what it is like for us personally to be an ascended being, which is pretty amazing.
Yes, that is. Okay, we'll go on.
Swirling about you, enlivening you with their light energies. Then you may be victorious. Then you may win with victory's angels.
I cut us off a little bit there, but what he said at the beginning was, and when you have the inspiration angels whirling and swirling about you, then you will experience their life energies, and you will be victorious.
Often we come when some call for their victory, or they require a boost before they can access the cosmic energies of victory's angels.
I just might mention here that we have heard from Victory a number of times. He is very powerful. He's given us many, he's given us labors and challenges, and he inspires us to keep on keeping on. He often gives us formulas and ideas to help us be successful and victorious in all that we are here on this earth to accomplish with our higher self. I'm probably most grateful to Victory for the role that he played in lowering the amount of karma that we have to deal with in order to ascend to heaven. Do you know that back before the 30s, we were required to conquer or be victorious over or make up for at least 100% of all negative karma that we had acquired in past lifetimes? And the angels and the karmic board and cosmic beings who help us and are in charge of this planet with God saw that we were living now in a very difficult time in which we were succumbing to temptations all around us. And so with Victory's persuasion and help, they lowered that requirement to 51% so that so many more of us could actually be victorious over that negative karma that we had acquired in this and past lifetimes and ascend to heaven.
We often work with them and with the legions of ray of light, you see. So if you require an even better boost, you may call to all three of these legions who answer you instantaneously, dearest heart.
So would somebody like to tell us about ray of light? Ray of light seems to be a very important being, cosmic being, because he has legions, and legions means thousands of other angels working under him.
I'm here, Donna.
Oh, okay.
Okay, hi, this is Dee. When I first heard the name Ray of Light, and I was going to kind of try to get some information about him, I just naturally assumed that he was an angel. And I'm sure in some regards he is. However, actually, he is an ascended master, and he walked the earth like we are doing now. And he seems very unique. His story. He represents the fearlessness flame, and he describes fearlessness flame as being this. I imagined it as being like a laser beam of white light. Tinged with green, and he said that was the color of fearlessness flame. And he embodies that, and he assists Sanat Kumara and Lord Maitreya and Jesus. He also said that he works with K-17, who is head of the Cosmic Secret Service, and with beloved Lanello. And he described a story that he was assailed basically by the forces of darkness from out the cosmos here on Earth. He was just besieged by just demons and all kinds of entities. And he made a split decision at that time. And he felt that God, no matter what was upon him, was greater than all of that. And so he said he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and he said he prayed for hours, and God saw this, and actually he knew that God had allowed this to happen because he had come to embody this fearlessness flame. And once he had prayed and entreated God's assistance during this trial, he was a ray of light, in essence, came and overshadowed him and engulfed him and consumed all of the darkness that was upon him. And he said that once he actually ascended, I guess when you ascend, you actually can choose a name for yourself. And he said he didn't desire to take any name. He desired to be what he had become, which was a ray of light. and he vowed to assist man and to assist us. And he actually had a prayer that that was mentioned that he said that we can utilize. And it's, O God, O fiercest flame, legions of ray of light come forth. And he says if we call to him, he will assist us. His angels will come when we feel that we might not be able to take another step, when we feel besieged by things possibly from our past or from darkness that we feel might be upon us. He said to call out to him. So I thought he seemed like a very magnificent being. So that is my little expose on ray of light.
Oh, thank you, Dee. That was great. Yes, ray of light it embodies the fearlessness flame. Okay, we'll go on here.
We are known as Mercurian angels, for we rush to the scene of those who require, not by perspiration, but by inspiration, the light of God in their world. Yes, you may work, and work is good. And yet, dearest ones, there are times when those inklings from the altars of heaven are required to move you into a new paradigm, a new purview of life itself. This is when we, as divine muses, see you in your true guise as inspired ones and work with your mind, your will, your heart. Bring forth new co-creative divine works of the
Spirit. You know, one of the things and one of the ways that these angels of inspiration and other cosmic beings inspire us is by giving us inklings. And some of the inklings come forth during the day from dreams that we've had at night. And sometimes they come forth as deja vu. You know that you've thought of it or dreamed it or heard it, but you don't know where. So how can we increase these nighttime experiences? And have any of you ever had a personal experience of a dream that actually helped you? And I'm going to ask Jennifer to share something here.
Very good. Can you hear me, Donna?
Yes, I can hear you. Good.
Very good. Deja vu for me is kind of like an experience that I'm reliving. I've already seen this, and I'm sure that I've already either witnessed it or experienced a situation that I'm in, even though the exact circumstance of a prior encounter could be uncertain, or I might think, did I just imagine this? The experience of deja vu is usually felt with familiarity and a sense of strangeness or weirdness. And I have many times when I go to sleep at night set the intent to resolve an issue or to get insight, to receive insight into an issue. And I find that that is honored when we make the request. I have many a time experienced kind of a conclave where there'll be two or three of us who will be in a scene. It may be at a picnic table. One time I thought, that is the weirdest dream. But the morning when I woke up and thought about the dream, I knew that my request had been honored. And there was a sense of resolution. There was a sense of having understood the other person's view and the other person having accepted and understood my view so that we could work in harmony. And I find that dreams are probably the most often time when I wake up and think, every once in a while I'll be in a circumstance or a situation and I'll feel like, this feels awfully familiar. This is deja vu, and I won't honestly know why I feel that way, but I am grateful because I have a sense of a good feeling about it.
Right, right. That's very good. Thanks.
There are many artisans who have known us. When they have accessed their own higher powers, their own divine quintessences, we have been there holding a field of protection around them to seal them in light, so that that which comes from the source is not stolen away through a moment of compromise, illogic, or debauchery.
I want to share with you a story of inspiration. This is a little bit different kind of inspiration. Sometimes we are inspired to, for instance, go to a certain store and buy a certain thing that perhaps is something that somebody needs or something we need to give or share. This is a story in which a lady was inspired to do something in public that I know many of us have been faced with similar situations, and we either obeyed and followed our inspiration or we did not, maybe because of fear. So I'd like to share this. This lady was waiting in an airport to board an airplane. Now, I used to be an evangelical type conservative Christian, and so this story comes from such a lady, and so I understand very much where she's coming from, and I'm sure that you will too. She says, I had the Bible on my lap, and I was intent upon what I was doing. I'd had a wonderful morning with the Lord in my devotional time, and I say that because I want to tell you it is a scary thing to have the Spirit of God really working in you. You could end up doing some things you never would have done otherwise. Life in the Spirit can be dangerous for a thousand reasons, not the least of which is your ego. I tried to keep from staring, but this man was such a strange sight. Humped over in a wheelchair, he was skin and bones, dressed in clothes that obviously fit when he was at least 20 pounds heavier. His knees protruded from his trousers, and his shoulders looked like the coat hanger was still in the shirt. His hands looked like tangled masses of veins and bones. The strangest part of him was his hair and nails. Stringy gray hair hung well over his shoulders and down part of his back. His fingernails were long, clean, but strangely out of place on an old man. I looked down at my Bible, discomfort burning in my face, embarrassed at staring at him. As I tried to imagine what his story might have been, I found myself wondering if I had just had a Howard Hughes sighting. Then I remembered reading somewhere that Howard Hughes was dead. So this man in the airport, an impersonator maybe? Was there a camera on us somewhere? There I sat, trying to concentrate on the Bible to keep from being concerned about a thin slice of humanity served on a wheelchair only a few seats away from me. All the while, my heart was growing more and more overwhelmed with a feeling for this man. Now, let's admit it, curiosity is a heap more comfortable than true concern, and suddenly I was awash with an aching emotion for this bizarre-looking old man. I had walked with God long enough to see the handwriting on the wall. I have learned that when I begin to feel what God feels, something so contrary to my natural feelings, something dramatic is bound to happen, and it may be embarrassing. I immediately began to resist because I could feel God working on my spirit, and I started arguing with God in my mind. Oh, no, God, please no. Please no. I looked up at the ceiling as if I could stare straight through it into heaven, and I said, don't make me witness, don't make me share my story with this man. Not right here and now. Please, I'll do anything. I'll even get on the same plane with him and ride next to him and talk to him, but not right here in front of this gawking audience of people waiting to get on their plane. There I sat in the blue vinyl chair, begging His Highness, please don't make me witness to this man. Not now. Then I heard it. I heard it clear and loudly in my mind. I don't want you to witness to him. I want you to brush his hair. The words were so clear, my heart leaped into my throat and my thoughts spun like a top. Do I witness to the man or brush his hair? A no-brainer. I looked straight back up to the ceiling and I said, God, as I live and breathe, I want you to know I'm ready to witness to this man now. I'm on to this, Lord. I'm your girl. I'm ready. What difference does it make if his hair is a mess, if he's not redeemed, if he doesn't know you? I'm going to share my story with this man. Again, as clearly as I've ever heard an audible word, God seemed to write this statement across the wall of my mind. He said, that is not what I said. I don't want you to witness to him. I want you to brush his hair. Now, this is her higher self giving her pretty direct instructions because she was a very obedient lady. So she goes on and she says, I looked up at God and I quipped, but God, I don't have a hairbrush. It's in my suitcase on the plane. Now, how am I supposed to brush his hair without a hairbrush? But God was so insistent that I almost involuntarily began to walk toward the man as these thoughts came to me from God's word. Now, I will share with you, this is me, Donna. I will share with you that when I was an evangelical Christian and I was very involved as a missionary, in fact, we memorized scriptures all over the place. And they came to our minds and guided and directed us in situations like this. And so if she says here, some of the scriptures from the Bible came to her, and this particular one said, I will thoroughly furnish you unto all good works, in 2 Timothy. And this means that God will give you whatever you need to do, whatever he's telling you to do. I stumbled over to the wheelchair thinking I could use a wheelchair myself. My knees were shaking. Even as I retell this story, my pulse quickens and I feel those same butterflies. I knelt down in front of the man and I asked, as quietly as possible, Sir, may I have the pleasure of brushing your hair? He looked back at me and he said, What did you say? May I have the pleasure of brushing your hair? To which he responded in volume 10, Little lady, if you expect me to hear you, you're going to have to talk louder than that. At this point, I took a deep breath and blurted out, Sir, may I have the pleasure of brushing your hair? At which point, every eye in the place darted right at me. I was the only thing in the room looking more peculiar than old Mr. Longlocks. My face was crimson and my forehead was breaking out in a sweat. I watched him look up at me with absolute shock on his face and say, Well, if you really want to. Are you kidding? Of course I didn't want to, but God didn't seem interested in my personal preference right about then. He pressed on my heart until I could utter the words, Yes, sir, I would be pleased, but I have one little problem. I don't have a hairbrush. Well, I have one in my bag, the old man responded. I went around to the back of that wheelchair, and I got on my hands and knees and unzipped the stranger's old carry-on, hardly believing what I was doing. I stood up, and I started brushing the old man's hair. It was perfectly clean, but it was tangled and matted. I don't do many things well, but I must admit I've had notable experience untangling knotted hair while mothering two little girls. Like I'd done with either Amanda or Melissa in such a condition, I began brushing at the very bottom of the strands. In fact, I felt inspired to see what I could do with this mat of hair. I remembered to take my time, not to pull. A miraculous thing happened to me as I started brushing that old man's hair. It was like everybody else in the room disappeared. There was no one alive for those moments except that old man and me. I brushed and I brushed and I brushed until every tangle was out of that hair. I know this sounds so strange, but I've never felt that kind of love for another soul in my entire life. I believe with all my heart that I, for that few minutes, felt a portion of the very love of God surging through me into this hairbrush and into this man. I felt that he had overtaken my heart for a little while, like someone renting a room and making himself at home. The emotions were so strong and so pure, I knew they came from God. His hair was finally as soft and smooth as an infant's. I slipped the brush back in the bag. I went around the chair to face him. I got back down on my knees, put my hands on his knees, and I said, "Sir, do you know my Jesus? Do you know the Lord?" He said, "Oh, yes, I do." "Well, that figures." He explained, "You know, I've known him since I married my bride. She wouldn't marry me until I got to know my Savior." He said, "You see, the problem is I haven't seen my bride in months. I had to travel across the United States to have this particular open-heart surgery, and my bride has been too ill to come and see me." I was sitting here thinking to myself, what a mess I must be for my bride when she meets me when my plane arrives. Only God knows how often he allows us to be part of a divine moment when we're completely unaware of the significance. This was one of those rare encounters when I knew God had intervened in details only he could have known. It was a God moment, and I'll never forget it. Our time came to board, and we were not on the same plane. I was deeply ashamed of how I'd acted earlier to the Lord, and I would have been so proud to have accompanied this man on his aircraft. I still had a few minutes, and as I gathered my things to board, the airline hostess returned from the corridor, tears streaming down her cheeks. She said, "That old man's sitting on the plane sobbing. Why did you brush his hair? What made you do that?" I said to her, "Do you know God? Do you know my Lord? Well, he can be the bossiest thing." And we got to talking and sharing. I learned something about God that day. He knows if you just need your hair brushed. He sees you as an individual. Tell him your need, no matter how important it may seem. I got on my own flight, sobs choking my throat, wondering how many opportunities just like that one I had missed along the way, all because I didn't want people to think I was strange. God didn't send me to that old man. He sent that old man to me. I can hardly read that without crying myself. It's such a story, and it's a challenge to us when we feel a certain inspiration coming. It may not be that kind of a challenge for us, but whatever it is, as you spend time daily with your higher self, you will get the message like this lady got it. It's a muscle that must be developed and exercised. So when you get up in the morning, start out with that prayer we said earlier and dedicate your day to the Lord. If you don't think of it then, do it whenever you think of it. Dedicate your time to God. Take a few minutes and sit and meditate with your higher self. And as you do that and spend time in prayer and songs as we did earlier, you will know what he wants you to do that day, and you will follow that inspiration. This is a little different kind of an inspiration. This was strictly from the higher self into this woman's life, and it was very fruitful. Now we'll go on.
There are some who call themselves artists that are not in the least inspired by higher powers. Yet each and every soul can receive inspiration as a type of divine genius, as a type of energy that flows from within and above to grace them with what they require in a given moment. To find that word, to find that phrase, to find that title, to find within them that something extra whereby God's light manifests in time and space through their rendering of their talents and gifts. In the presence of your Godhood and your light, we have come to re-energize some who have known for quite some time that they came to this earth to fulfill something special. To get busy, to fulfill that creative project, glorified by God, sanctioned by the angels, and inspired by Inspira and my Legion. Thank you for your presence, for your Virya, and I seal you in God's light.
Now we have a little bit more. David gives a little discourse. He doesn't very often do this, but this time he will continue with a few words on how he visualizes Inspira, and we get a greater picture of just what Inspira looks like and how he works with us. So we will go on with that part.
Inspira, as a mighty being, wears a most magnificent cape as he flies across the skies and the cosmos. Within this cape is as if starry nebula are shining. What is on the cape is ever-changing. It is miraculous to behold in its artistic, shimmering energy. And what he does is that he takes from this cape like a cosmic paint and flashes it forth into the minds of sons and daughters of God as an awakening, a quickening, an enlivening of their minds. He opens a portal to higher thought, higher truth, higher wisdom, and higher artistry. He is truly like the greatest muse there is, and he trains his legions in how to inspire each soul with a specificity based on that one's evolution, and how they think and cognize, how they emote and feel, and how they personally are inspired. Some in nature, some through geometry, some through looking at beautiful nature scenes or images that others have done, some through stillness. So it's very specific for each one how that one is inspired. An angel is assigned to each soul, and sometimes more than one, based on the creative genius of an individual and how much they have offered to God and to the universe of themselves to provide co-creative works. When you see someone who is considered to be a genius, a savant, like a Mozart at a very young age, there are sometimes an entire family or legion of angels that are supporting that one's endeavors. And Inspira guides all of these angels as the champion of these angels that are truly like muses of heaven. So thank you, beloved Inspira. We pledge to use you, to call to you from this day forward to assist us in all of our creative works, especially our creative arts team, those who work with graphic arts, etc. They can receive quite a boost from these divine ones who also use newer technologies and inspire newer artistic technologies upon the minds of some among mankind. All of these angels are really divine artisans of the spirit themselves. And they have qualified themselves for this sacred work by being able to receive the creative fires of the Holy Spirit from the altars of heaven themselves, and to know how to distribute them, fashion thought forms in the atmosphere that souls can pick up on, how to very creatively get into the minds of mankind through very awesome ways. Sometimes they slip in when we're not thinking from the human rational mind. That's when they can often kind of very gently ease their essence into our folds of our being in order to give us something of this quickening light. They also are masters at assisting people in the dream state. And some of these angels actually work with the angels that assist people in leaving their bodies at night, their souls journey out of their body temple, so that they can get to those places where they can be inspired in the retreats. And some work with those angels who can help us retain the memory of these things.
I'm going to share with you briefly something that happened to me as a result of a dream. First, let me just tell you, I lived next door as my children were growing up to a lady who did not like animals. Now, I had three children who loved animals, and we were in a neighborhood in an area where the animals did not have to follow a leash law. And so they ran around, and, you know, occasionally some of them would get into mischief. But the animals were all pretty friendly with one another, and we controlled them for the most part. But this dear lady who lived next door to me was determined she was sure that all of the dog droppings in her yard were from our dogs. She just knew it. We usually had one or two. And we did not think that was so because we saw a lot of other dogs over there and all around the neighborhood. We didn't think much of it. We were, you know, pretty simple at that time, and we did not have immaculate lawns or yards, so we weren't really that concerned. But this lady was very concerned, and one day she took the biggest shovel I think I've ever seen, and she filled it up with dog droppings that she had found here and there and around, and she took them over to our driveway and proceeded to drop them in a pile in the middle of our driveway. Well, now, I was pretty upset. I did not like this. In fact, I was just sure that all those droppings were not from my dogs. We had two poodles, they were poodle mixtures. And I went over there, and I even went so far as to think, I think I could separate these out, and this dropping is my dog, and that's somebody else's, and take back the ones that weren't my dog's to her driveway. That was my initial reaction. I was not very happy, and I was not inspired to do anything nice for this lady. Well, a night or two later, I had a dream, and in the dream, I loved this woman with all my heart. I loved her, and she loved me, and we were hugging each other and sharing all these wonderful things. And I woke up, and I was dumbfounded. I thought, I could never have drummed up that feeling in my waking hours. This was amazing because I did not like this lady. I had no love for her in my conscious state. But at night in my dream, I felt a great love for her. And as I thought and thought about it and meditated on it, I realized that God wanted me to love this woman. He wanted me to love her soul. He wanted me to give of myself to her in some way. And so I was inspired to try to think of some way to show her love. And what happened was she became ill. Since I'm a nurse, I nursed her. And I took things to her. I took stuff from our garden. I took pears from our pear tree. I took different things from my store to her and helped her, and we became good friends. I'm not sure how she felt towards me at the very end when she did die, but I had a love for her and a respect for her and understanding and an empathy for her that would not have necessarily come without being inspired. And I'm not sure who inspired me. It could have been Inspira or one of his many angels. Could have been Allegra, his twin flame. Could have been my own higher self. They don't always tell you where your inspiration comes. But I was definitely inspired to do things for her in a new and unique way that I had not done for anyone before. One other way that I might mention I've been inspired is at my store we have two big front windows, and we have to do something with those windows. We can't just leave them empty. And so we have, with the different seasons like Christmas and with spring and fall and winter and summer, we change the decorations in those windows. Now, nobody that I know knows how to do that, and so I had to call for inspiration on knowing what to do because I just didn't know anyone else in our little town that would do it for me or that would offer any help. And I used to struggle and struggle and take days and hours wondering what to do. Uh-oh, this spring is coming and I've got to change my windows. What do I do now? This last time, after I heard from Inspira, I immediately called on him and Allegra for help when I went to change my windows for the end of winter and spring coming. And I only spent a few hours. It all came to me what to do. I was directed in where to find this stuff. I happened to have become an expert at finding things at the Goodwill, and I found just what I needed and decorated my windows in record time. And so, Inspira and Allegra, I thank you for that. Now, we'll just take the last minute here.
So there's all kinds of nuances of the type of work that they do in order to assist us. And there is an interconnectedness between the Inspiration Angels and many other legions and bands of angels because, of course, they are trying to get through to us in order to keep us on the path, on the surest and simplest and best path for our life streams. So I hope this has been a benefit to all of us today. Thank you, Inspira.
And that is the end of our class. Now, we would like to invite any of you who are still here with us to share with us any prayer requests that we may, and I would like to know if Carolyn Clearwater is on the phone tonight, because if she is, I became aware that her sister, who I believe is Elizabeth Clearwater, recently transcended. She had cancer, and I just would like to, I'm going to put her down to pray for her successful transition, as well as Minerva. And if Carolyn is on the line, Carolyn, please press *6 and tell us that you're here. And now I'm taking prayer requests, and if you have any prayer requests, please just hit *6 and share it.
Donna?
Yes.
Hi, it's Joanne from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes,
and I have a prayer request. Going through a divorce now, I'm asking for protection and an easy transition out of this marriage.
Oh, I know. That is a challenge. Many of us have been through that, so we will put you down for that, Joanne.
Thank you,
Donna.
So much.
Yes.
This is Lee. Would you still pray for my brother, Ralph?
Yes, that's Ralph Adams. And
yes.
I just like to tell everyone, Ralph has had a long, hard struggle with circulatory heart and diabetes problems involving many aspects of his body and health. And we want to pray for him to be free from infection, for his mind to work clearly, and for his complete healing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Donna, I just want to thank you, this is Deanna, for all your prayers and the prayer line for helping the Reese family and myself through the transition for Minerva Reese. And during the time when my father was sick, too, how much you've helped all of us. And I just can't tell you how much we appreciate this.
Oh, listen, you are so welcome, and we all appreciate any opportunity to pray for those who are in need and those we love and those who, you know, we are all one, all of us. We are like cells in the body of God. And when one of our cells is suffering, the other cells feel it. So, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that another prayer request?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Don. Hello?
Yes. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me? This is Lillian Anderson. I borrowed this phone, and I don't want it to get lost again. So I just want, please, I need prayers.
Uh-huh.
For cutting through. I have wrote a lot of poems in Spanish and English,
mm-hmm.
and I need to get to those. And I have a job, and I need assistance with your prayers.
Okay.
My family, my daughter, and my grandson.
All right. Your daughter and your grandson, and you,
yes.
And you need a job, and difficulties with Spanish and English, and we need to pray for the right job for you. Okay.
Right. I've just been going through almost 18 years of great tribulations. I have made a poem to Amoria,
mm-hmm.
and there I don't want to go in details, but great
okay.
tribulations, and those papers and the poems are buried in for 7 years in the storage.
Okay. We've got you down here, Lily. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you so much. My heart is with you.
Yes. Do we have any more prayer requests?
Yes, Donna?
Yes.
Hi, Donna. It's Shola.
Hi, Shola.
Hi. I just want to thank everyone again for praying for our mom. And Sorry, my sister's talking to me. And then also, if we can pray for my sister's patient, that while she's away, that they take care of themselves, you know, so she can have a break and take care of things with our mom. And and then also, Nick got a really good, I told you, Donna, how Nick's doing the studio, recording studio work. So that's been going well, but he still needs to get more, like, bigger jobs come in. So if you would all please pray that he gets some big jobs, him and his partner, to come in, that would, I'd appreciate that too.
Okay.
And thank you all for all of your prayers throughout the years, and we really appreciate it.
Good. Excellent.
This is Carlene.
Yes, Carlene.
I found out last October that my youngest son, Alan, has been an alcoholic for 20 years. He lives on the West Coast, and I didn't know that. I thought all was well in his life. So now he's going to AA meetings and wants to give up alcohol very, very much. He just celebrated his six-month anniversary of being free of not having any alcohol. His wife and daughter do not want to have anything to do with him, and I really need prayers for him and for myself also, because this has just been devastating to me. I didn't know about it at all.
Oh, I'm sure. What is your son's name?
Alan, A-L-A-N.
A-L-A-N. Okay. Thank you, Carlene. I've got him down here.
Thank you very much.
Okay, any other prayer requests?
Donna, this is Caroline.
Yes, hi, Caroline.
Hi. My prayer request is for your continued healing and for your immune system to keep building and for you to just heal completely.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I want to know how your grandchildren are doing.
They're over in Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
And Annie's got a job with a scuba diving school over there.
Good.
So things are a little bit rocky. Will you just pray that she will be able to get her new life and her new start, or that if she needs to come home, that she will do it?
Okay.
Please. But everybody, please pray for Donna. Pray for her complete healing and for her immune system to keep building.
I'm doing so much better, Caroline. I'm just 100%, almost 100% well from all
then
my.
Let's get that 100%.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, are there any more prayer requests? Okay, then what I'm going to do, and if you have any that you think of while we're praying, feel free to hit start and just enter it.
Okay,
this is
Barbara.
Yes, Barbara.
I would like to request prayers for my husband, Philip, and myself. We're in the process of... we're getting ready to move our business to another state. Just pray that the right investors that God desires for us, that they step forward to make everything fall into place, and that we connect with the people that God desires for us to be involved with, and for wisdom and guidance and the proper financial investment to come forth for this business move.